Happy birthday to you all. Pentecost is often called the birthday of churches. So I'm telling you, the church, you know, the church is not the building, it's people. So it's a birthday of the church. We can easily picture early Christians celebrating this as we read the book of Acts. If you want to see how they did, we're doing about all the same. So please go back and read book of Acts. The late Arthur Schlesinger Jr., the historian and public intellectual, raised a concern about the fragile bond of unity in diverse culture. So he has a point. We need to think about it and be serious about it too. And people of different ethnicities and races and languages crowded as a global community, and it sometimes brings us disunity in terms of making decisions and building relationships. In light of tension around this world, today's text provides rich diversity of God's world celebrating the birth of church. Should we be anxious of this diversity? No. The love of God is broader than the measure of our minds. Don't put God in the box. Don't put God in the box. Measure of love of God is unfathomable. It was very timely to have an international dinner last night and in our church last night. So as we were celebrating each other's tradition and differences and food, which entails our culture, it was a great opportunity, and it becomes a big, great opportunity to get to know each other and understand others. Thank you again for those, especially, where's Barbara, who arranged. So thank you again who participated and who came to the dinner. Last Sunday, we experienced Ascension Sunday, and today's text still includes farewell disclosure before Jesus goes up to his Father in heaven. He promises the Holy Spirit as an advocate and also counselor. The next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Trinity Sunday, and I will further talk about it, Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. But the divine presence of the whole three, is the main point here today within these lectionary readings. Psalm 104 is a creation story, and the psalmist is praising manifold of God's work. Honor God's wisdom, which comes from the chokmah in the creation. And when God breathed into the spirit, we call it ruah, and its breath, wind, and the spirit, and we become alive. So psalmist's point is that the sovereign God is the source of life and death. Through Jesus, the law of the spirit of life sets us free from sin and death. We all know that. And his cross is the door by which every member of the human race can enter into the life of God. So today's Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 16 to 17 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. And the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you." So Jesus is the way to the Father. We all know that. Remember in Old Testament that there, where the curtain gets cut vertically into two so that we can get into God directly? And Wesley says, "Proper relationship with the Holy One, the Most High, can only be reestablished through the work of mediator," meaning Jesus Christ. Wesley's view of sin and salvation indicates that Jesus has to play a priestly role. There are so many roles that Jesus plays, And here comes his priestly role, the mediator, because human cannot redeem, but only through Jesus Christ. Amen? So the spirit of life is God's controlled mind, God-controlled mind, while the spirit of death is sinful mind, whichever. So the spirit of life is pleasing to God, while the other is hostile to God. And when we say that Christ is in us, this means that the body is dead and spirit is alive. So which makes it us righteous and get to enjoy what? Sonship of God. It says we are becoming a child of God. Remember? The Bible said. And then co-heir with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Our status being lifted up. And on the short verses of Romans today, you can find spirit 5 times in Romans today. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, and for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but what? You received the spirit of sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. So some people have problem with calling father because their biological father abused him or her. But you can get rid of all this. Father is not the father that you're thinking of. God. Ask God. Whatever you, that's a prayer comes to you. So you are having a relationship with the Father, Abba Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then you are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If needed, we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. Now you have been set free from sin and have become slave to God. And benefit you reap is what? Leads to holiness. And the result is what? Eternal life. Amen? Eternal life. One of the great theologians and Martha, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was imprisoned by Nazi Germany, died right before the World War ended, and his last inmates remember him as a saint because they have witnessed that he's peace as he goes out to the door to be executed. So he coined the word cheap grace, as you all know. Here we can discuss the free will. So it is usually our responsibility and our free will in terms of making decisions. When you made the decision, you have to take your responsibility, right? So what he meant by the cheap grace is that we tend to make the same mistake in God's eyes, but should grow in, you know, the spirit by his grace. And we are not supposed to be immature spiritually by choosing the wrong decision or wrong thing over and over. That's what you call. Grace is sufficient. So it doesn't mean that you do it again and again and again. It is hard, we know. Apostle Paul also says in Romans 8:11 that the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Part of what distinguishes a Christian from the world is the presence of the Holy Spirit within the believer. Have you experienced one of those moments of regrets? I mean, right after you open your mouth to say it but wish you had not said it? I used to walk around a compound, you know, the community compound where I used to live, with my ear gadgets plugged into my record player, listening to the Word of God. And one evening after having one of those kind of arguments with my daughter, I don't even remember what it was. Usually petty issues, little issues. Anyway, the scripture verses that day struck me so hard that I was able to do better for a while. Isn't it hard to grow? So the verses were, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. In order for us to grow with the Holy Spirit, I would like to go over the nature of the Holy Spirit that I have learned from my former professor, Reverend Mark Roberts, of a Fuller Theological Seminary, in his book, through his book, After I Believe. The first one, the Spirit is a person with whom we can have relationship. You can think of it as, we usually, when you go on a trip, I say to myself, your Spirit is with me, so I'm not alone. So people used to ask me, my friends asked me, I was living in the first appointed parsonage, had a 5-bedroom. So my friends visited, and they said, how can you live all by yourself? At that time, my husband was in Korea. I'm not living alone. Spirit is with me. I have no fear. So a relationship, Paul describes with the word koinonia. That same koinonia is used in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the most commonly used benediction, which I use a lot as well. May the grace of God, the grace of Jesus Christ and love of God and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with you all. Remember that one? I commonly use it. You should remember some of it. Fellowship, that's the koinonia you're having with the relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Holy Spirit makes God's power available to people called Christian. In Genesis 1, verses 1 to 2, the Spirit manifested as a wind from God embodies the divine presence and power. And there are many more verses within Old Testament. Judges, excuse me, 1 Samuel, Numbers, especially Joel, was quoted today's text in the book of Acts. And since 19th century, the name glossolalia, that's speaking in tongues, was given, and which is the gift of the Spirit. We cannot say that it is the Spirit of God only, and it is dangerous for some Christians to compare the Spirit of God to the force in George Lucas's Star Wars saga, an energetic, impersonal power that enables people to perform amazing feats. So even in the 20th century, early in the 20th century, certain Christians had life-changing experience they attributed to the Holy Spirit. The 1906 revival in Apostolic Faith Gospel Mission on Azusa Street in Los Angeles is usually credited with the birth of the Pentecostal movement, and from then on, those Pentecostal the members grew rapidly. And the Spirit seems like something mysterious, some power that occasionally whisper in ears or does miracles. And either speaking tongues or those kind of Pentecostal experience is not totally wrong, but reflects Jesus' comparison of the Spirit to the unpredictable wind. Listen to this. John 3:8 says, the wind blows wherever it pleases and you hear it sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. People ask, are you born again, Christian? That's what it means. Born with the Spirit of God. And when you are born of the Spirit of God, you are distinguished from other people because Christ is in you. Amen? So thirdly, Jesus sees the Holy Spirit not as his own unique endowment, but as something to be given to others as he promised. So New Testament is full of Holy Spirit associated with God's, in Jesus' ministry. Out of many verses throughout the Gospel of Mark and Luke and Matthew, today's text, the book of Acts, quote Joel, Old Testament prophecy from centuries before was fulfilled. This is another fulfillment of Old Testament in New Testament. Let me just remind you once again. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's been prophesied. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is the way and the life and the truth. Let us all center ourselves as we grow spiritually every day. Aren't we also blessed that we have the Spirit with us to intercede with us when we pray and mourn with us when we go through this some depressions to sustain us and counsel us as we make decisions? And what about empowering us when we get weaker? So let us all wait for the Spirit, and I'll more talk about it, about the Trinity next week. And let us pray. Oh God, we give thanks to you for this moment, this day, that every day that you have given us and blessing us with the Spirit, that you abide with us all the time. That we are so blessed as a Christian that Jesus, you are the one, the truth and the life and the way to Father. Let us be all centered in you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.